Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm your host, author John L. Brown, and I have my co-host, Ms. Jacqueline Allen, better known as Ms. J.
Hey!
And today we have a really good guest. Her name is Miss Wanda Reyes. And but before I say anything else, I would like to ask Miss J if she would take the liberty of bringing Miss Wanda Reyes on air.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, welcome, Miss Ramirez, and thank you everybody
thank you.
For joining us this afternoon. This is going to be a really good show because she's taking on a challenge that most men and women both would figure that's not her place. Why would you do that? So we're going to talk about why she said, why not me? And so that is a great show. But before we get started, Ms. Ramirez, tell them a little bit about yourself.
I am a mother of 5 sons, 3 grandsons. I'm a caregiver in the city. That's the type of work I do. And because I guess God just chose me to work with the men, he's giving me a house full of them and grandsons. That's why I have no granddaughters. Even my dog had male dogs.
Pretty cool. Well, I want to start off with, I think it's awesome as a woman to take on such a challenge, especially young men. Now, we're going to go into what you do for the older men, but I want to start off with talking about the young men between ages 10 and 17, because that is a time where they're learning they're trying to discover who they are. And I've said it 1,000 times because I raised my son. I always said, I can make him a good person, but I can never show him how to be a good man. And those are two different issues. So for you to take on that challenge, I guess one of my questions would be, that has to be challenging because some of them are, I guess, think I can say this properly, they're smelling themselves, they got their man thing trying to come on. So what made you take on such a challenge? Because because it's just something a woman wouldn't do on this level that you're doing it.
I really didn't choose it. It chose me. I was, normally I'm just in my bed, an average woman sleeping. And God been waking me up for years at between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And I couldn't quite figure out what it was that he wanted me to do. So I began to get frustrated. Well, Lord, you have to tell me more of what it is that you're calling me to do. And I thought it was the young women because I am a woman. And so I put some words on paper, brought it down to the city of Lake Charles. The people fell in love with it. But yet before the ink could dry, God still wouldn't let me sleep. So, of course, that let me know that was inaccurate in my way of thinking. And when I finally figured out, to me, I said, the boys, me, it was something I did not choose to take on. But he equipped me for the walk. And it's a tedious job, but I find it far more easier with the young males starting at 10 to 17 because, like you said, they're trying to find themselves, and I am helping them get to that place to open up their minds to see something better than what they see every day they walk out their doors. And my job is to educate them. We talk about AIDS. We talk about sex. We talk about homes without fathers. We talk about those things openly as a family, And when we first get the young men, they're very uptight, they're very quiet, they don't want to speak. But when I share my life with them and they see what God has brought me, then they open up easier. And I tell you what, I've had kids from sixth grade up to past senior, and they still don't want to leave the program because it's home away from home.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And we talk about the absenteeism of the fathers, and in some cases, both fathers and mothers. As we know,
absolutely,
our grandparents are now raising our children. Our grandparents are weary because they can't keep up with all this new technology and all these new things that these kids are getting into. So that's where I come in. I come in as a middle person to negotiate ways that they not only can get along with the grandparents and get an understanding with the grandparents, also have a method for the school system to where we can better discipline our kids without embarrassing them. Because when you embarrass a young man, then you've lost him for the day. So I work out tools and techniques with the teachers to make a better relationship also at school and at home as well. And we do fun programs. Some of our kids have never left the city. And we, you know, between me and my husband, you know, we put our money together. We ask for donations. We take these kids on many summer vacations. We take them out to camp. We had 15 boys, and only one knew how to cast a fishing pole. So we taught them, and I told them, in order to eat these red beans, you have to bring me some fish. So we have to make a fisherman out of them.
Because if you want to, if you want to eat, you got to work. Same difference.
That's right.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
So you're just a mediator.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes, he's a mediator.
I'm a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
Because
as
black men, you know, they have to know about the STDs. It's not just about laying down with a young lady because you don't know where she's been, and she certainly don't know where you've been. And I tell them now, back in the day when we were raised up, we can say, well, can you tell me your name? What is your goal? What is it you want to do? Now, the first thing you need to ask is, what is your status? We need to know what your status is. Then we'll get to your name.
Wow.
Do you know your status?
That's right.
That's heavy.
That's
heavy. And you know, Wanda. Wanda. Also, you have a nonprofit. It's called Young Men in Transition. Now,
that's a
powerful title. You know, what made you come up with that? I mean, because that's powerful. Young Men in Transition.
The key word was young men, because we start out as being a baby, then we transition into a young man. And in transition means to change from one state or condition to another. So no matter what, if you were born a male and you're 1 month old, your ultimate end point, you're going to be a man. It's inevitable. So young men in transition, we're transitioning from adolescence to manhood.
Wow.
And who better to teach a young man what a woman wants than a woman? We have to live with you. So, and we're
going to train
you the things that we like and the things that we don't like. And we're going to build you up. That's who we are. We as women build you up. But I was telling some young women, you got to build yourself up first before you can build him up. Because once you build him up, then he gets the big head and he's better than you now. Now he's moved on to somebody who may be who's doing a little bit more than you. We forget where we come from.
Yeah. Wow. That encouragement and that support is major.
And here we are in Louisiana. We are one of the highest incarceration states. I also teach law. I teach what armed robbery is and different crimes that our children are doing. And from what I'm understanding, the crime is still the same. It's just different generations. Nothing has changed except the punishment has increased and it doesn't fit the crime.
Yeah.
Mm. The punishment has simply increased.
Yeah, I watched a special on you guys' area. They had it on Showtime, and man, they throw charges out there like they throw water, and they throw major charges. No, I was so shocked because I didn't know that. Because I know we have a problem in California, you know, where me and John is from. I know about our neighborhood, but when I see other states, I mean, they were throwing charges, and they were, some of the big people were laughing, and it was just really amazing that they got, and each one of you guys, what do you call them, parishes have their own set of rules, and they had, so I'm talking about how they took cars from the dope dealers, and now they're driving the dope dealers' cars. That was just like a shock.
And, it, and it's so all just a big setup. I used to, and I didn't know why I used to do it. I used to just go sit inside the courtroom. I would just sit there and I would listen to the cases, and I listened to a judge specifically, and this was maybe about 8 years ago. And the judge told this young man who was 18, well, this is a good day for me, so I'm going to sentence you to 60 years. That was a good day. 60 years. And I asked, when court was over, could I go into the judge's chambers? Because I needed to ask him a question, and I was able to. God moved me in so many places that most people wouldn't get to go. And I sat with him, and I said, I need you to explain to me, how do you sleep at night when you can take a 16-year-old and bury him? Because that's what you did. You buried him. 60 years, he'll be 78 when he get out, if he lives that long. And his response was, I get a docket and a docket number before me, and I read the what's according to the charges, and I judge accordingly. I sleep well at night because I don't know these people.
Woo!
And that's the reality of it. That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very sad. Very sad. Very sad.
And a lot of my kids are economically challenged. The household.
Also, you do prison ministry. Now, what do you do when you go into the prison? I mean, explain to the audience what prison ministry is, because a lot of people don't know really what it is.
I actually go in under the name of Young Men in Transition Ministries. It's basically Bible teaching. I teach them every thought that you had when you got up and you passed that bank that you used to bank at when you had a vibrant job, you used to bank at this very same bank. And then something happened. The economy went bad. The jobs went scarce. And you no longer had money in that bank. And you lost your car. So now you got to walk in front of this bank back and forth. And you're going to hear a voice says, go ahead and rob that bank. Because they ain't going to know it's you. The bank got insurance. It ain't going to hurt the bank. See, that's Satan on one end. And then the other end, God is telling you, there's an angel telling you, don't do that because you'll get in trouble. You'll get life for this. Well, it comes to choice. It comes to choice. And as I was telling that story, a couple of young men came up to me and said that's exactly what happened to them. But see, what the devil don't tell them is that now you're on every camera inside of that building. So if you ever learn, if you ever notice how robbers get away only for a short period of time, they never got to spend one dime of that money. They were caught and sentenced accordingly. And what I do is teach them that all of your thoughts are not your thoughts. Satan put thoughts in your head. But if you don't know God and if you don't understand the Bible, you're like a newborn baby being tossed around defenseless. In order to know who God is, you've got to know who Satan is. And when you know who Satan is and you know the difference between love and hate, anything that doesn't have anything to love is not God. So you need to be able to make better choices. But if you can't make those choices and make the distinction between right and wrong, that's why when you go in front of a judge, the first thing a judge asks you, do you know the difference between right and wrong? And if you say yes, he judges you accordingly. Same thing for God. He judges us accordingly. And I teach them about the inside scoop about women. You know, I tell them, just because she's fine and she's pretty and she's a desirable to your eyes, and then you bring her home, she won't cook nor clean. Then you go, what in the world have I gotten myself into? Then when she starts to, you know, cheat on you and do all this, you want to take her life. You didn't give life, so you can't take life. So I just try to educate them on leave the relationship. get to know God the same way you get to know a woman. You have to wine and you have to dine her. You have to take her out a little bit and get to know her. And when you get to know her, there's some development of trust. So the same thing is with God. You got to develop, you got to get to know him. You got to seek him first, get to know him, develop a relationship. Then you'll be able to trust him. And when the devil tell you to do something that's not according to his will, you will be able to tell the devil to shut up and get behind me. And you will be able to continue to walk and not be incarcerated and locked up like animals. My dog have more freedom than these men.
Yeah.
My dog can come in and out of his cage anytime he wants to.
Yeah,
she
that's
wants
pretty
to.
You know, one thing I want to say, I think it's good you teach them about women. I taught my son about the 80-20 rule. Because I don't know if everybody know about that, but most times the 80-20, you're going to get 80% of what you need that you think you expect. You know, like a lot of times people, I don't want a woman, she got to be 100. She got to be able to do X, Y,
mm-hmm.
Z. But that's not realistic. It's not realistic for us as women to think that our men are going to be 100. So the 80 is the 80-20 rule. You know, and you
that's
get 20%. It is a good rule because 20%. A lot of people wind up with that 20% because they're looking at superficial. They'll pass up that 80, the sister that could cook, that could clean. She may have, maybe she's a little thick. Maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe she got some other problems that they don't find appealing. But she can do everything else. But you'll run over to that 20, you know, that brick house, weeds, fake booties, fake booties, all that.
Uh-huh.
And she 20%. Because all she can do is be kept. She doesn't know about being well kept. So when you're dealing with relationships, you have to look at that. Even grown men, they still doing that. They running for that 20. Then when they leave their wife for that 20, they want to come back to that 8.
The
teach them early about that 80-20 rule.
Early.
Mm-hmm.
Early.
Okay. Hey, excuse me. Excuse me, everybody. I just want to take the time to tell the audience that if you want to join the conversation, ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, okay? That way I would know that you want to come in and join us. We have a board full, and I want to thank everybody for calling in. All right, so please press 1 if you guys want to join us. Okay, go ahead on, Ms. Wanda. Sorry about that.
And I educate them. If you see a woman, I don't care where she is, and her hair's done, her nails done, her feet done, she's looking good, and her children are marching behind her, hair not combed, not dressed properly, that ought to tell you something, that she is one selfish woman. She's all about self. She's even in front of her children. So by you getting into a relationship, where do you think you're going to fit in the plan?
Hello? That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you're going to fit in the plan? Ms.
Wanda, I want to ask
women,
you.
You cut her off.
Oh, I did. Go ahead.
I just
go
wanted
ahead,
to quickly
Wanda,
say, we as the younger women, the younger generation have made a mess of a lot of things, and it's simply because they weren't taught. But we have become, these young women have become to spoil these young men. They can move into their Section 8 houses and play their children video games and don't have to get a job where they work and go to school. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And we have, and then when we get tired of them playing the game, a year later we want to fuss at them and say, you need to get a job because I can do this by myself. But you trained him that way. You started him that way. And now you expect him to get a job? So all he does is when he leaves you, he finds the next dummy. To let him do the very same thing. So we have stripped the manhood away from men. I tell people all the time, I see women that literally carry their boyfriend's genitals in their purse. Give it to them when they want to give it to them, when they feel like they should be a man. When you should be a man every day, all day.
That's right.
That's
John
right.
Had just
you
said that last
know.
Week. John, you said that last week. We was in the conversation. Remember we were talking about, people, you know, they perceive, they give person a perception that this is how the relationship going to be. As soon as that person don't do what they want, the girls holler, well, this my house, this my kid.
Mm-hmm. right.
Can't jump around.
That's
like
right.
That.
Mm-hmm. But then
hey,
the men
you know,
get
I've been
mad
young,
at those
hey,
words.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, of course, you know, I've been a, well, you know, well, I'm an older gentleman now, but I've been, you know, in my 20s before too, you know,
no.
And I hadn't had that thrown in my face, you know, that's my kids.
Right.
You know,
but. But
you know,
now,
I mean, hey,
men are killing
you
women.
Like
men
it,
are
you
killing women behind that now. Men are killing
oh, yeah.
women behind that now. This
yeah,
is my house.
Right.
And these men knew when they met you, they didn't have a house. These men knew they were living with
mm-hmm.
you. You know, and they don't want
right.
to leave. They just want to control you. Even during marriage, when,
mm-hmm.
when I do marriages, little inserts before people get married and let them know, let's not get this thing twisted. This is a joint adventure. She's not your slave. You're not the boss of her, but you let the man lead. And when the man sees that he's not leading you correctly, he'll come to the wife and ask her, well, what do you think about this? That's a joint venture. I also
mm-hmm.
teach a program within my program called The Real World. Welcome to The Real World. I give these kids $10 an hour. Some of them live lavish lives. And I said, you cannot live that lavish life if you're going to clown in school, if you're going to keep getting put out, if you're going to keep getting sent to an alternative school. The alternative school is already
mm-hmm.
set up for the number of new prisons they're building.
Oh, you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we have
yeah.
the.
Okay.
Then we have, I have to go in the schools with zero tolerance. Who's going to tolerate them? If they're not going to tolerate them.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So true.
Yeah. Okay, Ms. Wanda, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Now, you know, like you know, this talk show is about uplifting communities. With
yeah.
all that, I know you do a lot about inner community, okay, to help out with especially the young children. The young people. Now, in your eyes, what do you see that will make the community better?
I think we must encourage one another. We must pray together through the trials of illness, because we have a lot of people sick with many, many diseases, and we can't be pointing the finger, oh, this person got this. We have to become a unit. We have to pray in the trials of illness. We have to pray for the loss of death, even when you go to a funeral now, people are just casually talking. Funerals are not even like they used to be. We need to get back closer to God. We need to pray for people who are facing persecution for doing the will of God by itself. We need to pray for those who are disheartened because of injustice. We know we're walking in injustice right now. Look at all, if you look at the news, we're all walking in injustice right now. We all have to pray. We have to pray for those
right.
who are facing economic problems. We're all, you know, I tell people, it reminds me of the Titanic. I remember the rich people were on the upper side of the boat and the poor people were at the bottom. But when that boat began to sink on the left side, I don't know what the rich people thought, that the other side wouldn't sink too. We all in this world as a unit, as a whole, if one of us, just one of us is disheartened and we're going through something, it's a domino effect. It affects all of us. And
yeah,
we have
right.
to pray together. We have to stand tall together. And if we got to go, and like I said, I asked God a long time ago, when did we as a black unit, a black people, because I'm 45 and I needed to ask this question, when did we all stand together? And the words that I got is when we all had nothing, when we all had the same
right.
crisis. Picking cotton, all we had was God, and everybody prayed together. Everybody sang, waiting in the water to save the next person that was trying to get to freedom. We had the same amount of nothing. We were a unit.
That's right.
We
okay,
have to
well,
come
we
back.
Have a caller on the line that want to participate. I'm going to let him in, okay?
Okay.
Great point, Ms. Wanda. That was such a great point.
Caller, could you please state your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Minister Harriet Chapman. I'm calling from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Okay.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Yes, I'm calling to congratulate Ms. Wanda Marrero about her time on the radio today, and she has bringing a lot of great points concerning her foundation, Young Men in Transition. And I am familiar with the program and even involved with the program, and would love for each and every one to support her in her efforts toward building up our Black young men, because they are suffering in many ways. And through her program, it has really enlightened a lot of different ones in this area as a minister and as a person working within the system, realizing that the situation in our city has really, especially Louisiana, with the incarceration and the over incarceration of our young Black men, and the fact that they are hungry for leadership, mentorship from other men with skill, understanding that can help them. And through her program, I believe that men everywhere, all over the nation, should be able to mentor a Black young man into, you know, into doing better.
Yes, ma'am.
I really do appreciate her program because it needs chapters all over and everywhere.
Wow,
yes.
That is so nice. Okay, ma'am, I really appreciate you calling in. And Ms. Wanda, would you like to say something to her?
I would like to say thank you for recognizing, because she's come in with me. She's also doing ministry with me. And we are now introducing ministry to the Federal Halfway House, who said, oh, we've never had ministry at a Federal Halfway House before. And I said, the Lord sent me, and we brought equipment before the people said yes. And when we met with the head director and the rest of the staff there, they welcomed us with open arms and also put us on their board.
All right.
I don't know what God is doing in this hour, but I am blessed to have her walking with me. And I tell you, we are fire. We're on fire. We're on fire. We don't look at what everybody else is doing. We focus on what we're doing, and we have many success stories. That's the beauty of it. We don't receive one dime, but we have many, many success stories. We service over 160 boys. You know, I've been in
wow.
Young Men in Transition has been in existence for 7 years and counting. With $13 in the bank, and we've gone to Mississippi to Youth Summits. We go to Slitter Ball. We take these kids to do a variety of things. And I, too, am working on a book as well. I'll be working on a small documentary that I wish to present to all, both male and female prisons, because they need to have an understanding what their absence and what their selfishness
right.
is doing. We've got to get ourselves together for our kids,
okay.
because you're leaving your kids to predators.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to cut you off or anything, but we only got a minute and 30 seconds left before the show is over with. And I'm going to ask Ms. Jada, please close us out.
Well, absolutely. First of all, thank you, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate their support. And Ms. Ramirez, I mean, Wanda, what you're doing is just awesome. And I think it also lights a way for some other women to say, well, maybe I'm not supposed to work with young men or young boys, and they see that maybe that's their calling, too. And it's just a big encouragement to show that, you know, anyone can do it. You just got to have that heart and that passion to go for it. So we have to thank you for joining us today and share some great information. And I know John asked you to, you said thank you to us, but if you have one positive thing to say to the people out there about, you know, just hanging in there or just doing their passion, what would that be?
Don't listen to anybody but that inner voice that God gives you. And no matter what it looks like, and no matter what other people tell you to try to discourage you, keep moving, because it's not the things that you can see, it's the things that you cannot see. And I'm telling you, God is going to reveal things that you couldn't even perceive, because it's in his will. Anything that's in his will shall be done. Hold on in there and stay focused.
All right.
Stay true to yourself.
Okay. Okay.
John, go ahead.
Well, we got 10 seconds left. So, Ms. Wanda, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate having you. And God bless you, and you keep up the good work. And good night, everybody.
God bless you.
Yes, thank you. Good night, everyone. Peace and
blessings. God bless.